I'm shooting some film on the side of a road today. There's a little diner here. And this will be my first all-day film shoot rather than with digital. And I have two different cameras with me today, different film cameras. One is, I'll back up a little bit here, without getting hit, hopefully. One is the, my point and shoot is a Canon Snappy EL macro. It's got a 35mm 1.38. So I have no idea. I loaded it this morning with Kodak 400. It's old film that I bought on Letgo from somebody. So I don't know exactly how long it'll last at all or whether it's even any good. I don't know if I loaded it right at all. So because of that, I don't know what to expect with any of this craziness, but it should end up being pretty interesting on whether or not the film even comes out. So that's something to look forward to, is whether the film even comes out at all. So we'll see. I guess that's part of the fun, right? Not only am I learning to use these new tools, but it's kind of like unexpected. Like, well, what's going to happen with this? And how's it going to look? And how's it going to work out? I'm also interested to know about the viewfinder. Let me see if I want to open this up just a little bit. Of course, I have a goal with my film photography. My goal is, oh boy, I accidentally took an exposure. Well, all right. That's something I don't want to do because every time I click the shutter, from what I can tell, every time I click the shutter right now is going to cost me about 17 cents. I mean, that is seems like zero. Well, actually, that's wrong. It's 17 cents just for the film, but not for the developing and the printing and any of that kind of stuff. So I will check back in on film costs in the future. But as of right now, as for, you know, the case of this, for the purpose of this podcast, it will be 17 cents. So we'll see how that ends up. All right. I've got to put my camera on my tripod right now. I have a new tripod. Whoa. That I may have just broken. Nope. Guess that's the right way to do that. And a friend was not using it and decided to gift it to me. So I definitely appreciate that. Thanks, Dan. He just one day said, hey, I have this tripod I don't use. I figured you might be able to use it. And so that's what I'm using. Because my old one was broken, as you all know that listen to this podcast. Okay, so my goal with my photography is to get as sharp of an image as possible. And so to that end, I'm using a tripod for this shot, even though it's a fairly well-lit photograph. So I'm not worried about it not being exposed at all, but I don't know what to expect. I guess I should even worry more so about the cropping, because I'm not going to be able to crop this like I would like to. Okay, so it's focused, supposedly. Is this what I want? Or do I want the whole building? Very satisfying noise, taking film photography. Okay, it's slightly underexposed. So, that's the thing I don't know. Do I want it to be underexposed or overexposed? I'm going to take one of each. Okay, that's it for here. So how do I supposed to put this on without breaking it? There we go. Okay, got it. Now I know. So, it's an adventurous day. Film. The diner that I'm photographing is kind of half lit, half not, so I have no idea what to expect. I have so much to learn about film photography. Like, as an example, there's a few different numbers that go with film. One is the, I think, the ISO level that it expects. So, if it's 400, it should go up to 400, or is it that it expects to be at 400? So there's that question that I don't know the answer to. Is it, then there's, so as an example, the Kodak Instamatic that I found at the antique store is 110 film that is 24 millimeter. Does that mean that it's at 110 ISO? Seems like that'd be odd. The 24 millimeter is the size of the exposure. So I think it would be odd if it was at 110 ISO. So these are all things I need to learn. So I'm shooting Kodak 400, and I don't even know what that means yet. But I'm the kind of person that learns by doing. I do love to watch YouTube videos and learn from how people do things that way. I've probably covered that on my blog a little bit, maybe on this podcast, I'm not sure. But instead of being instructed or reading, I will read quite a bit, but I don't read. I read more like background on things. I don't read like textbooks on things. And so by watching YouTube, I love to watch people work. So if I was going to watch someone do photography, I don't need to learn from like a tutorial like how to whatever. I would much rather watch someone do it and then pick up the things as they're going along. Kind of like how you can learn a language by listening all the time. That's how I like to learn. And then I get out there, I do some of that myself, and then I get back and learn a little bit more, and then get out there and do it, and then learn a little more, and keep that cycle going. So that's what I'm doing today with this film photography, is I have some rolls of film that I kind of just got with this camera that are supposedly not exposed yet, so I'm looking forward to just rattling off a few rolls over the next few weeks and seeing what the results are. Taking some notes, perhaps, and learning what did I do, what did I not do. I'm also interested in how do people remember what they shoot at? So the EXIF information for the photo is, where is that? If I make some changes to the aperture, let's say, is that recorded when I shoot the photo? I don't think so, but I don't know. So, all things to learn. Turn my hazards on because I'm stopped along the side of the road. I don't know if the picture I'm about to take is good to take with my film or not. I might actually get my digital camera out just because when am I ever going to be here again? But, oh, there goes a bird. Just looks like a bird. But, I can see for miles up here. I'm right near one of the largest peaks in our area. One of the tallest, I should say. And, I can really see for miles up here. So, I think I'm going to set my aperture to wide open, which is 22 with this, and it still is well exposed. So, I can go all the way up to 2000s. So, I'm wondering, I distance. And one focused here close in. So who knows what that's going to be. That's interesting. There's also a barn here that I'm going to use the point and shoot for. Let's see if I can square away a good photo. Maybe I don't want this pole in it. Let's see. Oops, not open. It's interesting because there's no focusing with the point and shoot. I believe it's just from 5 feet to infinity or something like that in this thing. And you just kind of take the photo and that's it. That's all you get. So that's super interesting. Now I'm going to move to try this. I've got to be super mindful of my... This is also wide open aperture. I can get to 1/25th, so let's see. Can I handle 1/25th just standing here? I'm worried that that's going to be some movement there. So how do I do this? Let me just stop it down. Or open it up, whatever it's called. Sorry, everybody, that's what Leah's saying. I'm going to try one that's a little bit faster. Good Lord, I've got to, this stinking, sorry if you can't hear me, thing dropped out of my ear. The shutter release for this thing is super sensitive, like super. I'll try one more time here. Apologies to my wallet. Okay, let's see. What will that be? I don't know. People must think it's very weird for somebody to pull over and take a picture. Maybe not here. If I lived here, I don't think I would mind people pulling over. Now, what I would normally do in a spot like this, that I just stopped over, you probably can't hear me this whole time, sorry. What I would normally do in a spot like this, if I pulled over, I wouldn't think it was weird if people pulled over here, because if I lived here and I knew that I had this view, I would not think it very odd for people to pull over and take a picture. I mean, I can probably see 30 to 40 miles from up here. Maybe even further, I don't know. That distance is pretty neat to look at. So I wouldn't blame people for pulling over. Well, I hope some of those exposures came out. Film, film, film. I managed to expose a few frames. While I'm just driving along here, I would pull over and take a few shots. I took one of a really old dilapidated barn that the road went way downhill and then back up the other hill, and you could see that entire process right next to the old barn. So I thought that was kind of neat. But the barn is in shadow and the road is exposed because of the sunshine on the other side on the hill. And so there's some things I need to learn about where to aim my light meter and decide what part of the photograph do I want to be properly exposed. However, because the ISO is fixed, I'm wondering if I'm ever going to explode the other end. Like, do I have to worry about that at all? Many times if I were to, with a digital camera, if I were to set my exposure level for the barn that was in the shadow, and then the road would be, you know, perhaps too bright or whatever. But because the sensitivity of the film, presumably still quite sensitive, even though it's old, is that going to matter at all? I don't know. So there's a lot of little things there that I need to pick up and learn. And I don't need a light meter, I don't think, because, or external one anyway, because it does have a light meter on the camera, so I can use that. And from what I've gathered, it uses the entire surface of the thing for that. Like, I don't have to point at a specific thing. So, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see. And, of course, I could have taken more than one exposure and then kind of stitched and merged them together later, kind of like an HDR thing, but using film for that. But I didn't do that. So, I don't know. The learning loop is going to be a lot longer with film. Because, you know, obviously it's going to take a long time before I end up seeing the results. I am going to try to blow through these rolls, though, so that I can learn in a relatively short period of time, and that way I'm more confident with the results later on. But also, just something to remind myself of this feeling of going out this first time is just the seeing the number decrease as you're going is really it's sobering. You know, it's definitely keeps you on your toes, you know. It's like, are they getting more important? is the 20th frame not mean as much as the fifth that's left? Because you're like, oh man, I only have five more. I don't know. Like, it's just an interesting feeling to have that. Of course, there's a fixed number of photos that you can take on your memory card, you know, but it's, you know, 1,000 or 5,000 or whatever it is. I think I see an owl or a hawk. So I'm pulling over right now. There's a hawk right here. I'm pulling over in someone's driveway, though, so they're probably not going to be all that happy about that. But there is a hawk right here. I do not know if he'll let me shoot it, but I have my digital camera and my lens, and I should be able to do it from in my car so that it doesn't leave, but I do have to switch lenses to be able to do it. So let's see how this goes. This will be a nice experience. Crap. He flew away while I was looking down, so I don't even know where it went. He could easily just have hunted something and is going to come back up to that branch, but I think he's gone. No! Another reason to have my camera ready with the stinking lens I want ready. Ah! I don't see him anymore. There is a road right up here, though. I'm guessing if he's hunting in this field, he's not going to go very far. I'll pull in here just to see if he dipped in. He was sitting right there. I don't see him at all. I don't see him on the ground either. I think it was a red tail, so I'm not, like, super bummed about that because I do see quite a bit of them. Although I've never photographed one at all. I don't think I've even tried, and maybe I should, but it just would have been neat to get one. He was right in the sun. The sun is setting right now, and it would have been a really nice shot, I think. Probably would have definitely... I was close. Oh well. The lesson do I learn from this is that even if I had my camera ready, I gotta be honest, I probably would have had a very, very short window to get that shot, so. And it wasn't an owl. But I am glad I pulled over. He probably didn't go very far, but I just don't see him. So seeing that number go down, like, it's going to be very interesting, just an interesting feeling to be so mindful over each frame that you shoot, you know. But I am hoping that if I can process my images myself, develop the film, and scan the film, the negatives, then I won't feel as bad about blowing through some film. I don't mind spending 17 cents a frame, but I probably would mind, you know, if it gets into the dollar area to get them developed. I found a few services online that I have bookmarked to look through what all the prices are and what their services are and what their turnaround time is and the quality. I think Richard Photo is one of them, and The Dark Room is another. Those are the online ones. There is some local places near me that do process film, and it's well over a dollar a frame to process. And some of them don't give you them digitally and stuff. So, I mean, there's some places that are just behind the times. And my focus is to get them digitally and then selectively print them if I feel like later, which is so cool to be able to go back to the negative. At first, what I thought what I would be doing is taking the negative, scanning it, having that just for the look and the feel of what film offers, hopefully really, really clear, but then getting a print from that digital file. But in reality, what I should do is go, unless I make a lot of adjustments, but in reality, what I should be able to do is go right back to that negative if it's well exposed, or if it's, you know, I don't have to change anything about it. So it gives you that one extra thing to go back to. It's kind of like keeping the original file, having that negative, you know. So I have a friend, a family member, that has a scanner, and I'm hoping that maybe I could even use their scanner for that, see how that does, see if I appreciate the quality of it or not. Looking on a couple of websites, I've seen that there's a specific scanner that a lot of people buy, and they appreciate the quality of that, so maybe in the future I'll invest in something like that. But these things all add up, you know, all this stuff adds up. Just getting the cameras was very, very cheap. Buying the film is a cost. The batteries are a cost. Some of the batteries, the little 3-volt batteries, are like $12. And of course, you can get better deals online by buying more or whatever. But, you know, so if you take the price of the camera, the price of the battery, the price of the film, the price of developing it, the price of printing it, let's say, if you want to do that, you're looking at quite a bit of investment for the learning curve portion. I mean, if you get everything all down and you can expose some film and you're very confident in the results, then of course it's going to be worth it. But when you're not confident in this beginning phase, it's like, well, how much am I willing to spend to learn? Especially with multiple cameras, because right now I'm using the Rebel G and the point-and-shoot Snap. What is it called? Snappy EL. I think is the other one I have. Let's see. Snappy EL, yeah. And that's only because the Olympus that I really want to end up using, I think, anyway, is I don't have a battery for it because I haven't ordered it yet and I don't feel like paying for it yet, because I would like to find a better deal than $12 for a battery, because I need three of those. So that's $36 right there. So I'd much rather spend maybe I can find some for $20 or something, but a 4-pack or something. Lots to learn, and you'll be hearing it all on here. It's all going to be rambles on this podcast for the first few times I do film. So maybe you're learning right along with me. Maybe you shoot film yourself and you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, I remember those days learning all that stuff. Or maybe you're thinking, you know, I can't believe he doesn't know all this stuff. But I do think that learning the film process and having some of the tools will end up being a good return on investment in the future. I don't know exactly how that will pan out yet, but I'm banking on paying for all of this time and all of the cost with one decent job that I do with it. And I'm only looking to do maybe one or two in all of 2020 that pays for the entire hobby. That's my goal. The hobby is, you know, so much fun, and I would do it anyway. But if I can have the hobby paid for in one shot, that'd be great. Okay, enough rambling. I'm going to go help my father move some furniture, so that this will probably be the end of this episode. So thanks for listening.